Hey, gorgeous. Welcome to the Healing Elevates Relationships podcast. I'm your host, Bernadette Jackson, CEO and lead strategist at Her Consulting Group and the creator of Her Way Relationship Intensive Course. This podcast was created as a response to my desire to redefine how the world views women with daddy issues. I release a new episode every week, so expect to hear me and my guests discussing topics, sharing stories, and gaining insights from the perspective of a fatherless daughter and the people who love and support us. If this is your first time here, here's what I want you to know. You deserve amazing relationships, and nothing you've done or experienced disqualifies you from that. But here's the thing. Amazing relationships with others happen after you cultivate an amazing relationship with yourself. And how do you do that? Self-discovery, healing, and accessing your authenticity. Let's dive in. Hey, y'all. So I recently read a quote that said, "If outside validation is your only source of nourishment, you will hunger for the rest of your life." And then I saw something else that really got me thinking. It said, "Out of all the addictions in the world, attention is slowly but surely becoming one of the most dangerous." And I was like, wow, wow. When my daughter was a lot younger, she would do this thing where if I was playing with another child, she would stop whatever she was doing, come over to me, climb into my lap, put her head on my chest, and hold my hand. It never failed. She always did it, and I understood what she was doing immediately. She was letting the other child know that I belonged to her. And sometimes she would even say, "That's my mommy." You know, just staking her claim. I found it amusing, but I would always reassure her that she didn't have to worry about anything, because no matter who I was playing with, she was still my one and only child. She would smile, I would kiss her, and then I would say, "Go back and play, it's okay," you know? Eventually, she didn't feel compelled to remind me that she was there, even as she not so subtly would let the other child know what her position was in my life. It was grounding for her to know that I wasn't leaving, that she had nothing to worry about, so that she can go and explore her world. I realize now that that simple, repeated act gave her the confidence that she needed to develop her own sense of self. I didn't have that growing up. So where a grounding sense of self should have been, there was a quest for outside validation. Because I didn't know who I was, I always needed others to measure the validity of my accomplishments, of my feelings, and my behaviors. How I felt and what I thought didn't matter nearly as much as what those closest to me had to say. I call this the validation fix. If the litmus test that you use to determine whether or not you have done something well or if your feelings are valid is created by someone else, you will never truly feel content. The need to be and do more will always exist because that shot of validation lasts but so long before you need another fix. And it's no secret that our fractured father relationships and complicated mother relationships is a huge part of why we keep looking for validation fixes for reasons that we have exhausted on this podcast time and time again. So I won't rehash. Instead, I want to focus on some of the ways we do this in our daily lives. One of the effects that is extremely damaging when we do this, and a path forward. So let's dive in. One of the most incognito ways I see a person will look for a validation fix is with the compulsion to always be a resource or have all of the answers. I say that this is incognito because on the surface, it looks like you just want to help. And many, many times you do just that. But here is how you can tell if it's a validation fix that you're looking for when you do any of these things. If you help someone and their level of gratitude doesn't feel satisfying to you, you were after a validation fix. This was not because you truly needed to help this person or wanted to help this person. You were looking for the feeling, the anticipation of the expected positive reaction to your help is the fuel that sent you full throttle in the midst of someone else's problem so that you can save the day. Similarly, the other way that we look for validation fixes is to be in a constant pursuit of the next thing. If you have ever heard from someone, wow, I wish I could be as productive as you, or man, you're doing all of that. How do you manage it all? Or anything along those lines. And you feel a sense of pride or you get a boost that you need to keep going, even if you feel like some or all of what you're actually doing isn't in alignment with who you are and what you've envisioned for yourself, you are looking for a validation fix. That is your only motivation for continuing at the level that you're doing these things. The last way that we look for validation fixes that I want to highlight, because I'm telling you, there's so many of them, but these three, they fly right under the radar and we don't even realize them. They're almost embedded in who we are as fatherless daughters, and I want to bring them to light. So the last way that I want to highlight is when we seek permission from those closest to us to do the things that we really want or need to do. Agonizing over a decision that you have already made until someone you trust tells you it's okay to choose what you already knew that you must. You didn't need help making the decision. You simply wanted to share the moment with somebody who approved so that it would give you the boost that you needed to act on a decision that you already made. Because God forbid, no one else agrees with what you're doing, even if you know that it's the right move for you. And that brings me to the very damaging effects that this has on us. The constant need for validation from others diminishes your self-trust. If you don't ever hold your own counsel or celebrate yourself for accomplishments, whether other people join in or not, if you haven't met a problem you haven't tried to fix because the gratitude translates to worth in your eyes, you will not be able to trust your own mind to guide you through your own situations. And not having the internal compass that guides your decisions makes it difficult to see yourself clearly. And when you can't see yourself clearly, you are constantly out of alignment with your most authentic self. Remember earlier I said that if the litmus test that you use to determine whether or not you have done something well or if your feelings are valid is created by someone else, you will never truly feel content. Well, the path forward is creating your own litmus test. Not only will this start to build your self-trust, but it will force you to face yourself, which is needed if your desire is to show up in the fullness of who you are. Accessing your authenticity depends on it. Too often as survivors of trauma, you morph into who you need to be to survive. The problem with this defense mechanism is that even when the time has passed and the pain of the trauma has subsided, you are still wearing your mask. Your most authentic self is tucked away far beneath the surface, and although you yearn for deep connection, very few people know the real you. With everything you've experienced, it can be hard to take off that mask and be free. And let's be honest, sometimes it's easier and safer to have it on.
That's why I wrote Access Authenticity. This 75-day journal and strategic guide will guide you through over 170 deep reflective questions so that your most authentic self can stop being your secret identity and start being your truest identity. You deserve amazing relationships, but you won't experience them if nobody ever gets to see the real you. Head on over to Amazon today and get your copy of Access Authenticity Journal Plus Strategy. Now let's get back into this week's goodness.
So your litmus test is a guide that is comprised of the elements that tell the story of who you are, your values, the vision of your highest self, and what you want to do in the world. And all of it starts with self-discovery. If you have not yet gotten deeply curious about who you are, what motivates you, and how you show up despite your best efforts, my advice would be to start there. I'm saying to start there because knowing who you are will help you to inform the vision of your highest self. Have you made it yet? Is there still work that you need to do? Do you even know who she is? These are the questions that you can ask yourself to figure out, well, who is my highest self? And then getting to the root of what motivates you will give you a very clear picture of what your values are. And lastly, knowing how you show up despite your best efforts will let you know what impact you have in the earth and in the world when you aren't trying to impress or looking for a validation fix. Knowing your baseline is important when deciding if the impact you have on others is the one that you want to have. After you gather this information, use it to create your litmus test. So for example, if the information you gathered told you that you are a very ambitious woman who is motivated not by your personal code of excellence, but rather by the claps and congratulations of others, and your highest self is a woman whose thriving career is in harmony with her thriving relationships, then your litmus test may look something like asking yourself the following questions. If no one ever knows I accomplished this, would I be proud that I did it? Does this get to me closer to the highest self? Or rather, does this get me closer to my highest self? Will this disrupt the harmony that I am trying to create in my life? Will this throw my relationships or my career out of alignment? What is my intuition telling me? Any of these questions will help you to really honor your values and what you want to do in this world, all while leading you to your highest self. So the questions that you create for your litmus test will be different from mine, but they will do the same thing. They are to help you to get into the habit of doing the things that make sense for you, regardless of whether you get validation from it or not. Your litmus test should not be a fixed guide. It should change as you do. The more you learn about yourself, evolve and grow, the more informed your litmus test becomes. Use it to help you to figure out the resources that you should share, what goals that you should have, and when you want to weigh your life decisions. There is no wrong answer when you are searching yourself, but you should be trying to figure out what feels right and what feels natural for you. What I want you to do is to slide into my DMs at Bernadette N. Jackson and tell me what you find helpful about this episode. I'm really curious if you've tried this before, if this is something that you've heard about, if this is something that you're nervous about, if you have questions, all the things. Lay it on me. Let's discuss it. And next week begins the final four episodes of Healing Elevates Relationship Podcast. We are at the home stretch. I have mixed feelings about it. I know that, you know, the end of this podcast is going to be the beginning of some new things. I've already started working on them. I'm really excited about it. But not showing up here every week in this capacity does feel like an ending of sorts. Granted, we are connected. We're going to see each other on IG. There's definitely going to be other ways that, you know, we're going to stay engaged. But this does feel like something to me. So, you know, I'm definitely going to be, you know, feeling all the things that you are as well. But I want to hear from you. If there is something that you want to learn about in these last four episodes, let me know. And if you have a message that you'd like to share with me that you don't mind me sharing on the platform, then you can record a voice note in my DMs and I may play it on any of the last four episodes. And as always, before I go, I want to remind you that you deserve amazing relationships. But as you know, the day that you plant the seed is not the day you see the fruit. So keep doing the work. Keep doing the worthy work. I'll see you in the next one. Bye.